I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Have you ever felt overwhelmed by endless health and diet trends? Do you struggle with making sustainable choices in your daily life because it just seems too complex or expensive? Imagine a world where each small choice at the grocery store or the farmer's market could help heal our planet, improve your health, and strengthen your community and local economy. Well, what if I told you that it's possible? What if you could make informed decisions that have a big impact with just a little effort? My name is Dana DePrima, and this is One Bite is Everything. I am the founder of Four Farmers, a movement that supports small farmers across the United States, and a former corporate marketer and community organizer who has poured all of that experience into these collective efforts. The contrast of my life behind a computer on the one hand and a barn-mucking shovel on the other opened my eyes to the profound impact our choices can have, even small ones, on the world around us. You see, what I've learned is that every small action counts and that being informed can transform your life and your community. After years of asking questions of wildly different sources, from farmers and homesteaders to policymakers and thought leaders, I've made it my mission to help you navigate the complexities and concerns that modern living poses by connecting you to questions with answers, problems with actions, and surprising insights that will keep you curious. On this podcast, every week, we'll be sharing real stories from the front lines, expert interviews, and occasionally, I will take you through solo episodes focusing on practical tips. By tuning in, you'll gain insights into how our food choices affect more than just our health. They affect our planet, local communities, and economies too, so that ultimately you can live a more conscious, impactful life. So, if you're curious about how to live healthier, be more community-focused, and environmentally conscious in easy ways, subscribe to One Bite is Everything wherever you get your podcasts, and pretty soon you'll be well on your way to making informed choices that you can really stand behind. Your food should bring you joy, but in the decades that I have been alive, food has become fraught with issues. Fad diets, fake ingredients, overprocessing, shelf stabilization, intense pressure for warp speed production, and an erasure of the seasons where berries are no longer treasured for their summer debut. Industrialization, none of that brings joy. But what if we could bring that joy back? I saw this clip of Aretha Franklin answering a question about her life's biggest challenge. I think I could see a number of options for an answer flash across her mind, but she pauses and scratches behind her ear before she answers.
The biggest challenges for me is trying to figure out what to cook for dinner nightly, you know, just night after night. What is it going to be tonight?
One of the things that I love the most about my summer garden is the Russian roulette of what's for dinner. The garden dictates what it's going to be. I think Aretha would like how seasonal eating can take the head-scratching guesswork out of that age-old question, what's for dinner? It's like one of those cooking shows, you know, with those silly challenges. Build a side dish for 12 around 3 asparagus spears. And what do you do with the 40 zucchini that are all nearing the size of small canoes? This is seasonal. I'm not even going to mention the scare and then the big laughs a yoga class had the day after juicing the mother load of beets that arrived in our CSA. This is seasonal. We have become distanced from seasonal. And with that distance, joy has escaped like the helium from a birthday balloon. But there's a way to get it back. What if joy and good health and community and even more, but I don't want to overwhelm you just yet, what if that could all come together in one neat and tidy package? It can, and it does, and you can find it in your own community. If you can't, just email me and I'll give you a hand. Let's start with this, CSA. CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. It's a system where people in a community buy shares of a local farm's produce in advance. Then throughout the growing season, they get a regular supply of fresh fruits, vegetables, or other farm products directly from the farm. It's a way for consumers to support local agriculture and farmers while also getting access to fresh seasonal food. It's a business proposition. It helps the farmer bridge that seasonal gap between the exhausting abundance of a fall harvest through a quiet winter until they eke out that first spear or two of asparagus. But it's more than that. It's a relationship between the customer and the farmer, between that customer and the hows and whys the farmer follows to produce that food. It's a reality check with nature when the spinach bolts early in a heat wave. It's a joyful dinner experiment when the zucchini start popping. Let's go to the UP. I love this lingo. The UP is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. There we meet young farmer Olivia Kingry of Pileated Farms. She, like many of the conversations that you have heard here, is one of the 78 Four Farmers Grant recipients from year one of the grants program. It's good to dive in and see how these farmers are making a difference in their communities. Let's go.
So we do grow all our own food for ourselves, but then we have a CSA and we also are a market farm. So we go to the Marquette Farmers Market, which is the biggest market in the UP.
Are there other vegetable farmers there as well from the UP?
Yeah. There's like 60 vendors, and I would say a little more than a dozen, maybe 15 of them are farmers. Which is amazing when you're thinking about where we're growing and people being able to produce enough to bring to the community. It's incredible.
Olivia is a new farmer. For her, it's about the food and the land and about something more than that, too.
I worked at TJ Maxx and it was just ruining my soul because I knew I couldn't handle the corporateness, you know, all of the waste. And that was really when I started thinking about who I am and like what I wanted to be doing. So then I quit and a week later had an interview on a farm that was actually 15 miles from where I'm sitting now. And it was my first time in this part of the state. And they liked that I was a writer. I had no farming experience. I just gave them my resume with like my poetry. And they liked that I was a writer. They liked me when they met me and they gave me a chance. And so they became my mentors and I worked on their farm for 3 years and then jumped in here.
And Pileated Farms, now how did that come to pass in terms of a name?
So I have a little art business that I had started years ago called Pileated Lines. And so when we were thinking of the farm, we were thinking about a brand, not like in the terms of like brand, social media brand. We were thinking about who we wanted to be. And we loved Pileated and we knew we were going to, my husband is a ceramic artist, so we knew we were going to have pottery. So we could have Pileated Pottery. And then we can have Pileated Eats is what like I call our little blog. And then we can do things like that. So it came from this little tiny business of me making watercolors. And then I thought, hey, that's kind of perfect. And then when we moved here, there was a trio of Pileated woodpeckers living here. And it just felt so perfect. I drive a little red van that has Pileated Farms on the side of it. And I'll come home from market and they will cut across the road as I'm driving. And I'll just cry. It's just such a like a gratitude that I feel like they're telling me maybe I'm doing it right. Like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
And when did you start your farm?
So we just bought it in 2021, actually. So we're new in terms of getting our feet on the ground and running. We live on an 80-acre homestead. So it wasn't just buying the farm. It was buying a new life, like or getting into a new life. So that was the first year was coupled with redoing the house. And then the second year was getting the farm started, but also building the infrastructure. So it's been a interesting balance. But I think it's the balance that really has kept us sane. Because it's not just all farming. It's farming and then milking goats, which is a different type of farming, or farming and doing a land survey for what we can forage on our land. We're going to be like, that sounds like farming, but it's different. I promise. It's a whole ecosystem. We're not just thinking about our fields. We're thinking about the whole plot.
And tell me, your customers, did they drink the Pileated juice? I mean, are they just like, no, I just need some delicata squash today? Or are they really universe people?
I think they're universe people. I think that, of course, we get the people that are just there to buy vegetables at a Saturday market. But then I think we meet the people that can feel what we're doing here, like the education we want to bring and what we want to show people that they're capable of doing. Like the cookbook that I'm working on is about local food, because I think that people really lost meaning of what local means, like really what local food is, and just how easy it can be to have a couple pots in your backyard, on your balcony, in your house that can grow food for yourself. So I think people can tell that we're not just growing food, we're growing a community, or trying to be part of that larger community.
Selling at farmers markets allows farmers to set their own prices and engage directly with their consumers, offering a more intimate experience. Customers get to know their farmers and understand how their food is grown, while farmers benefit from direct feedback and get a chance to build relationships with their clientele, creating a rewarding exchange for both parties.
I think that's so important, really, to show people that their food is a little bit more than just food. I think that people can feel that when they cook a dinner and have people over who say, oh gosh, that's so delicious. Like, how did you make that? I think that's one way people feel it. But I think that there's the other level that you're talking about. Like, yeah, I grew this squash in my field, which used to be terrible. And then I've been working on it for years and making sure it gets nutrients.
That makes me so excited. And when people come back and they say they buy our plant starts, and then they come back and they show me a photo of a tomato they grew, or they come back and they say something like, I had never eaten celeriac and now I love it. That is really what gets me excited. And we see that in our CSA members, I think, mostly just because you're in communication with them. You don't really get to catch up with someone unless they come back to you at market, of course, which we do have people come back. But with the CSA members, we really get to see their lineage throughout the season of where they started. We have people who have been with us for, this is our third season, who have been with us since the first one and who did not like vegetables or did not want to try new vegetables and now have branched out. And they found that celeriac is weird, yeah, but it's also delicious. And I think that the larger conversation is that we live in a society that doesn't want us to have that slowdown, even of connecting to our food. And so if we can foster that on a Saturday at a market where it makes me giddy thinking about just that community of people who come in this rural place that we live and they come and fill this plaza and buy local things, I think when you can start showing people that it's easier to slow down and that it's better to slow down, then you're making a difference. Even if it's just a delicata.
I think there's a craving for that, even if people aren't admitting it.
And I think people might not have the language for it. They might not know what they're looking for. They might not think it's slowing down, but it is slowing down, just in different degrees for everyone. Slowing down for me is living out here on the land, like with the land. So it's all about learning the language. And I think people are afraid to learn new language because it breaks like the normalcy of what they're living, what they're doing. But we got to be uncomfortable to move forward before we can get better.
Tell me some advice that you've received over your life so far. Is there a piece of advice that stands out for you?
I think for farming, the best advice I heard and the advice that I now emulate to others is to not jump into everything all at once. We did one animal at a time. And you, if you're farming, then maybe you do one large change to your setup at a time. Like you add a new field, then that's your new thing for that year. So not getting over your head. That was good advice from like that I had learned with my mentors who were living that kind of slow farming. And then for life-wise, it's just to be joyful. I don't think anyone taught me that. I think I taught myself it. And I think that a lot of people lack a certain type of untethered joy. Like joy doesn't have to be tied to an event or to a specific thing. Once you start just feeling joy for everything, then I think life gets way better. I feel like people get sick of me. I'm on Instagram. I'm like, look at this joy. Look at this joy. But I'm never sick of it. My collection of poems will just be like, joy. Look at this chicken egg. Joy. I can't get over it. What a thing to be alive.
I have a little farm, which means I've got chickens and ducks and goats and donkeys. People are like, you're just happy shoveling manure. I'm like, yeah, it's funny.
Absolutely. You get to talk to yourself. You get to talk to your animal.
Is that slow down? I mean, I think that's a slowdown. People don't know how to sometimes. And I think we are in a hurry, scurry all the time.
Well, like I said, that's society, that people have to go to jobs, they have things to do. And it sucks because that's a cycle that's really hard to break unless you're lucky enough to get plopped out on 80 acres in the middle of the UP and really force yourself to break it. But that's a privilege in its own self. So if I can help other people break that cycle in little ways and crack that foundation, then that's what I am happy doing.
So besides spinach, what's your one thing?
Even just saying spinach makes me drop my smile. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's because the weather has been so crazy that heat hits and the spinach bolts. And then I'm like, see ya next spring. I guess I'll try again. And then here we are next spring. We'll see if I'm going to try again. Okay. Other than that, you're not going to be surprised to hear that it's lettuce. I don't enjoy growing lettuce, even though it's my favorite food and I have it tattooed on me, and I still do not enjoy growing lettuce.
Just a little side note here. Growing lettuce can be tricky because it's picky about the weather. It likes cooler temperatures and can bolt or stop growing if it gets too hot or too cold. Keeping the right amount of water is also important. Too much can cause rot. Too little leads to wilting. Bugs and diseases can be a headache. And lettuce prefers good soil and doesn't like competing with weeds. But with some attention, you can still grow some great lettuce.
I'm getting better at it. I found my varieties. That's a good piece of advice to farmers is to, like, once you find something you like, it's okay to just grow that and not have to try the newest, hippest thing. I love Crispino head lettuce, and that's a majority of what I grow every year now. The joy of what you love growing. I think that's a big thing. We don't grow things we don't eat because that doesn't fit what we want to be doing or what we can be doing. So lettuce, I have to learn to love it because I do love eating it.
And your CSA members, do you have weeks where you have like a lot of, sometimes you get a CSA box and you're like, okay, it's a week of beets.
Both as a customer and as a farmer, it's scary to think about. No, we've never had a week of beets, thankfully, going into season three here, never had a week of beets. It takes a lot of planning. I think that's great for me because my brain is always running on like 30,000 cylinders. So the CSA takes up a lot of that in terms of, you know, we send recipes every week. We send veggie tips on like how to keep them crisp or how to use them best. What I just talked about in our newsletter is that the first June share is going to be so different than that last September share. And that's not just because there's different things available, but that's also because we're trying to show that eating seasonally and eating locally means that in June, you're going to have lots of kale and lettuce and sprouts and green things. And then you move on into the more bountiful. So although we haven't had any weeks of all beets, we have had weeks of lots of greens, which I think is just, you got to learn to love what you have and to cook different ways with it.
Yeah, the whole seasonal piece. I mean, that's another one there. You got to slow down. You got to find the joy and figuring out how to eat seasonally without feeling like it's a sacrifice, but maybe more of a challenge. Mm. Like I loved my beef stew experiment. I was even thinking about that. I was like, okay, salt. I could use bacon.
I did a recent beef stew experiment. My beef was local from around 20 miles, and I calculated the distance from my home for all of the other ingredients, and I think it was something like 17,000 miles. Yeah, pretty embarrassing.
I love that conversation of sacrifice versus mm-hmm. challenge, and I think that's such a fun line to walk, especially when you're thinking local food, because like we don't buy fresh fruit out of season. That's a sacrifice, but also a fun challenge, because then once those first strawberries hit in June, oh, there's nothing like it.
I feel like people are starting to recognize this, that a winter strawberry just doesn't taste good. It looks like a strawberry and it tastes like nothing.
Yeah. And I think that, of course, you want to be feeding them those nutrients and the greatness from fruit, but you have to be feeding that if you haven't been educated on like the winter type of substitutes for that. So like a kohlrabi is so rich in vitamin C, and so is celeriac. And so if you're eating those things in replacement of fruit or freezing fruit so that you have that, I could talk forever. And that's the thing is that when you go to our CSA page, we have a whole thing about CSAs in general because we want you to come. If you're local, we would love for you to come be a member, but we don't care if you come be a member at any type of local scale. Go to another local farm. We're referring people to other farms all the time, both for CSAs and at market. So I think as farmers, we can't be competitive with each other in that regard because it's just about getting people started. And so, no, it doesn't matter if it's our CSA, as long as it's a CSA. If you're trying a month of a CSA just to see what it's like, that sort of thing. People don't really know about it as like a practice. And then once they find out about it, people are like, oh my God, that sounds great. And so really it's that education of just getting people familiar with what it is.
Give me the pitch. Let's hear it. I want to hear, like, why should all of our listeners participate in a CSA?
Community-supported agriculture will change your life because not only are you supporting farms in a time where we're not having any of that income from growing, you're supporting farmers throughout the season by coming to us and chatting with us, by spreading the word of, like, sometimes people will not be able to come pick up their CSA and a friend will come pick it up. And the next week they come back and they're like, my friend's coming to sign up for your CSA for next year. So it's about that type of opening up the experience of what a CSA is. You're going to eat seasonally and not have to think about it. With our CSA, it's grouped together, so you don't have to come to market and think about what you want to put in your CSA. I curate them every week for you, and they'll change your life because you'll be eating better, just in general. Vegetable CSAs, you can do meat CSAs, you can do goat milk CSAs, you can do chicken CSAs. These are all things we're exploring ourselves of, like, trying to bolster our food community. We love growing food. We love growing good food, and we love the animals that are on our farm. And I think it's better because of that. But all the local food we eat meat from local farms in the area, and it's always going to taste better.
We are coming to the end of this episode, but before we wrap it up, I have a couple of fun questions for Olivia.
What's your guilty pleasure?
It's going to be food related because that's who I am. My guilty pleasure is a hamburger dipped in ice cream. Like, if I was to have a perfect night, I would eat a hamburger dipped in chocolate ice cream and then play Scrabble and drink a Diet Coke. That's like my guilty pleasure.
That's so weird.
And it's not even guilty. That's just like a fun night.
You don't feel guilty about it.
No, I don't feel guilty about a lot. That's a hard question for me, just because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to enjoy doing it.
Right. I don't think I've ever met anybody who put their burger in chocolate.
I was really exposing myself there. You want to know another?
Bring it, girl.
I love dipping my pizza in peanut butter. My mouth watered a little even thinking about it. Because I don't like cheese. I grew up not liking cheese. And so when they had pizza at school and that was all I had to eat, I learned to dip it in peanut butter. And then I just developed a love for it.
I feel like you might have a go-to karaoke song.
I do. It'd be 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Oh, come on.
That's like my morning song that I put on to, like, get pumped up in the morning.
Right now, I am hoping that you have a farmer like Olivia in your community or at your farmer's market. Someone who helps to connect you with the joy that comes from getting fresh, local, seasonal food. Maybe you are a part of a community-supported agriculture program. I don't know, I just like saying that better than CSA, because those three words are so important when you put them all together. Community-supported agriculture. Oh, I love it. No matter where you live, or where I live, we can all take inspiration from a small farm in the UP. We can take a page out of Olivia's pileated playbook. We can slow down. We can take a moment. We can shop locally for food that we can be proud of. We can challenge ourselves to try celeriac and to skip food that's not seasonal. And we can even indulge in what brings us joy, even if it's a cheeseburger dipped in chocolate ice cream and chased with a Diet Coke. I am so glad you have joined us today on One Bite is Everything. I am your host, Dana DePrima. I am the founder of the Four Farmers Movement. I want you to be curious and concerned about your choices. And here, I promise to bring you new ideas to think about from the UP and other corners, spots where you never knew you might find inspiration to take a small action in your own life that could really impact the way you live. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation today and that you feel good that the Four Farmers Movement is supporting small farmers like Olivia. Follow or subscribe to this show in your podcast app so you can join us again to discover real stories and facts from the front lines of food production and farming, helping you make informed decisions that affect your health, your community, the planet, and our economy. I am here every Thursday for interviews with industry experts, stories from small farmers. From the heart of every episode, you can start taking small actions that count right here with One Bite is Everything. See you next week.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.